Thank you so much to Happy Mammoth for sponsoring this episode of Making Moves.
I don't know about you guys, but every time I'm PMSing, I feel beyond off. Like, something is not right when I'm PMSing. And ever since I started Hormone Harmony, I swear it has changed my life.
Like, I'm not even kidding you. Before I experienced Hormone Harmony, I was getting the most insane cravings, bloating, feeling super off randomly, and even sometimes not getting good quality sleep. And y'all know how important sleep is to me. Like, it is my number one thing. So I wanted to take the reins on my health, specifically my hormone health. And that's why I started taking Hormone Harmony.
Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. It has zero sugar and is gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and third-party tested. And the biggest benefit? Feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews. There are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony.
If you don't know what Hormone Harmony is, let me just tell you. It supports hormonal balance and regulation, supports cortisol, estrogen, improves sleep quality, reduces occasional bloating and gas. It even can relieve mood swings. Any woman with symptoms of hormonal imbalances can take it.
For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code MOVES at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code MOVES, M-O-V-E-S, code MOVES for 15% off today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Making Moves. I'm here today with Jake Miller. Woohoo! Yeah, the crowd goes crazy. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much. I think we for a second forgot that we had met before.
Yeah. No, yeah. I walked in, I saw your picture. I'm like, I know I've met her somewhere along the way in LA.
We met at a Chargers game.
Yeah, we did.
Which was the craziest experience ever.
Yeah. No, we like were on the field pretty much in like this sick box, and all we had to do was like post a few Instagram stories.
I've never been hard on work. A box like that. Like on the field.
No, me neither.
I think that's a new like SoFi thing.
Yeah, that's like the most beautiful stadium I've ever seen,
yeah,
for sure.
The lighting, I was like, oh my God, I need to come here. Yeah, like, right. Shoot more.
So much fun.
Yeah. What an awesome perk to like also doing your passion, which is music.
Yeah.
Like to be able to go and I guess work with brands and do cool stuff like that. Do you work with brands like that a lot?
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure as you do as well, I get hit up by brands all the time. Yeah. And you kind of have to align yourself with like the right ones that, you know, are good looks. And, I don't want my Instagram just looking like a billboard. Like, just like everything I do is like, add this. But yeah, I mean, not only is it a great way to make some income, like you said, but it's just, you know, how many times do you get paid to go sit
it's
first
crazy.
Row at a football game?
Yeah.
It's so much fun. Free food, free alcohol.
I would have done that for
friends.
Free.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Exactly.
So yeah, I mean, I do them as much as I can, as long as they're like cool things.
Yeah. I remember meeting you and your girlfriend, Brandy, right? And I was like, they are so nice. I love them.
Thank you.
Yeah. You guys were so, and you were telling
She's nicer
me about
than
the,
me.
You were telling me about the crazy story about how you guys met.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you want to explain that?
Yeah. So it was like 2017. I was single. I was on tour. You know, I'm on a tour bus with like 10 of my guy friends. Uh-huh. We're just being reckless. We're casual. All single. So every show we would just, before the show, you know, in the middle of the day, we would go on Instagram. And, you know, if we were in Tampa, we would look up on Instagram, like USF. We would go to like the college on Instagram.
That is so smart.
Yeah. We would see all the girls that like tagged me USF.
Me, when I go into like a city and I'm like looking at the NBA team, I'm like, yeah. Roster.
Yeah, exactly. So we would just find, you know, girls who were tagging pictures at the nearby college, DM
Shut
them,
up.
Say, got a show tonight in Tampa, come by. And
see, that's like the smoothest move, because did you have the blue check?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, because then they're like, and then you have the show. Like, yeah. It's not like, oh, you want to meet up. You have the show. It's a perfect opportunity.
Yeah, and she didn't know who I was, but like all of her sorority friends were like, oh my God, Jake Miller. Like, of course you know him.
That's
but,
like ideal.
Yeah, it was great. And she didn't come to the show.
Okay.
She had a boyfriend at the time.
Oh my gosh, this is right.
Yeah.
I remember her telling me that.
Yeah, but we kept in touch because she's from Florida. So every time I would go to Florida, I would kind of see her. And it was just a long, slow burn. And then finally started dating over the pandemic.
Crazy.
Convinced her to move to LA. We got a house. And
and you guys live together, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That is awesome. What's it like living with like your significant other? I've never done it.
I love it. I love it. I think it's like the perfect test for couples. Like, I know a lot of people who, you know, are like ready to get engaged, but they haven't even lived together. And mm-hmm. like, I think that that's like such an important step, because obviously
you think you should live together before you're engaged.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
For sure. I mean, that's like an extremely telling test.
Mm-hmm.
And we went right into it, really. And it didn't change anything. It made it way better.
Yeah.
You know, all like her little habits that I didn't see before without living there, like, and all my little habits, like, those are like the things that I start to like fall in love with. And mm-hmm. I wouldn't ever be able to see that if, you know, we only saw each other a couple times a week.
Totally.
So, yeah.
I feel like you even learned so much about yourself, like just having a roommate, let alone like your significant other.
For sure.
I like learned it actually doesn't bother me when like so-and-so leaves a dish in the dish, like, or in the sink or whatever. But then there's other stuff that really pisses me off.
Yeah, for sure.
Is there anything that you get nitpicky about?
I don't get nitpicky about anything that she does.
Uh-huh.
Anything that she gets annoyed with me has to do with the kitchen, for
with
sure.
Cleaning?
For sure, yeah.
Yeah.
At this point, she's like, don't even clean the dishes, because even when you try to help, you don't do it thoroughly.
Yes, I have to redo it.
Yeah, I have to redo it. And so I kind of understand now. It's like, I want to help, but some things I'm just not very good at.
Yeah.
You know, she's just very detail-oriented. So I'm not going to like sweep the whole house if I know she's going to do a better job and just do it after me. So, you know, we both have our things.
You have
that
your
we
strengths
do.
And your weaknesses.
Yeah, I water the plants. You know, I change the batteries in the cameras.
Yeah.
The easy
That's
stuff.
That's the one thing when I'm like, because I live alone, when there's like a furniture moving situation or like trash, I'm like, gosh, a guy would be great to like handle this right now.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to.
Yeah. I mean, we go back and forth taking out the trash. It's mostly just like, whoever thinks about it first, you know?
Totally.
It's not like, oh, you have to do this, you have to do this. I think that's what kind of makes it great when you're living with someone. It's like,
you're like
when you see something, when you see something that needs to be done, just do it and, you know, that's it. Like,
love that.
Yeah.
So, Jake, tell me a little bit about, like, where you're from, how you got to where you are now.
For sure. I'm from Florida.
Okay.
I moved
where in
to
Florida again?
Fort Lauderdale.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. That's the spring break, like, capital of the world.
Yeah. It's so funny that people, like, think of it like that, because I just think of it as, like, home.
Yeah.
But Fort Lauderdale Beach is insane, for sure. We would, like, spend all of our weekends there after, you know, in high school. And you wouldn't even be able to, like, see the sand, because, like, all of our high school would just be, like, taking up the entire beach with blankets.
Crazy.
And, yeah, it was so much fun. But I grew up in Florida. Didn't really get into music until like junior year of high school.
Uh-huh.
I got a Mac for like Hanukkah one year or something.
Love.
And came a garage band. I didn't know what it was. I opened it and started making my own little beats. And I'm like, this is fun. Grabbed the little, you know, iPhone headphones and it came with a microphone. So I'm like, maybe I'll start rapping over these beats.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. At that point, I was listening to like, you know, Mac Miller and Kid Cudi, Asher Roth, like just a bunch of like kind of collegey, you know, rappers. And
I mean, they are like are all iconic too.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, Mac Miller at the time is like, you know, we grew up on him, but like now he's like so much bigger than like, you know, he's an icon to me now.
Mm-hmm.
Not just because he was one of the reasons that I started making music, really, but just because his music got better and better, and the person he was and what he stood for.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, he's iconic. But yeah, I was listening to Mac. I'm like, you know, if he could rap, you know, I see all of his videos on YouTube with all of his friends. They're making fun videos. Like, I want to do that.
Yeah.
So I would invite my friends over after school. We would rap over these little beats.
Stop.
We made like hundreds of songs that I'd probably get canceled for if they ever if they ever came out right now.
Yeah.
I deleted them recently permanently because they're just really bad.
You're like, no, I don't want to listen to that.
Really bad. We say some bad things. It's just bad. It's all around bad. But that's kind of what made me fall in love with music. Mm-hmm. And then like senior year, all my friends went off to college. And even though I got accepted to like 9 out of the 10 schools that I applied to, I had really good grades growing up. I studied really hard. But like last minute, I decided not to go to college at all and just pursue music.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, what a ballsy move.
Yeah, I mean, it was especially ballsy just knowing like where I grew up and like the city that I grew up in.
Oh,
like,
that's not normal.
No, everybody went to college. Everybody. Even if it was community college, like no one studies and takes all these SAT and ACT courses and gets good grades and then just decides like, no, I'm just gonna chill. But I ran it by my parents, and this was after like a year of like making music in my bedroom, and I knew that like I had a really strong passion for it, but I didn't really think that like I had a future. It was more just like it's more just like, mom and dad, let me stay home for a year and concentrate on music, and if anything comes out of it, I'll keep going with it, and if not, then I'll just go to college a year later. And it just kind of took off from there. I got a manager.
Like, that needs to be more normalized, like taking a year after high school to like really decide what you want to do. Or
for sure.
I don't know, I feel like so much can happen in that year,
for sure.
But do you, just to be blunt, like, were you making money like yet?
No.
You were just like, I just want to try this, and your parents were like, fine.
Yeah, no,
like, that's crazy.
Yeah, no, at that point I had like 3 or 4 like regular jobs.
Okay. In what high were you school doing?
I worked as a bag boy at this grocery store called Publix.
Love Publix.
You like Publix?
Pub subs?
Oh my god, don't even get me started. Chicken tender pub subs,
so good.
It's iconic. But I was like a really paranoid kid, so they kept putting me like on the shift where I had to collect the carts at night in the parking lot, and I thought I was going to get kidnapped.
Oh my gosh, that's terrifying.
Yeah. So I was like, I'm going to quit this. And then I worked at Cold Stone.
So you know how to do like the on the counter.
I did at one point, yeah.
Wow.
They got some sketchy stuff going on over there, though. They would there's this huge freezer, like the size of this room.
Uh-huh.
And you have to like learn these songs, because if like people come in and like give, like tip you a certain amount, like all the crew, all the employees start singing.
Song. Right. Okay.
So there's like this kind of like hazing funny thing that they think is funny, but I didn't think was funny, where they would lock all the new employees in this freezer room.
You're kidding.
And learn the songs. And you can't come out until you knew the lyrics. Swear to God.
Exposing Cold Stone right here. Wait, is this like every Cold Stone does this?
Know.
Or this is just like the Florida Cold Stone?
I don't know.
We need to comment down below if you've heard of this.
That's true. Yeah, it's a true thing. Ended up getting fired there because I stole ice cream. I didn't technically steal the ice cream. At the end of the shift, you're supposed to like all the cartons like that you see displayed, you're supposed to like, you know, save them for the next day, package them up. But there was one flavor that was like barely any left, so I just washed it down the sink. And this manager on duty just freaked out on me. He's like, "You just stole our ice cream."
Oh my gosh.
And like fired me on the spot. I'm like, "Okay, cool."
Wow.
Yeah.
I was going to say, they probably loved you singing the song. They probably always
wanted... I
wasn't
a singer back then.
Okay.
It was just rapping.
Okay, just rapping.
And I wasn't even good at rapping.
Okay, copy.
I just thought it was fun.
Okay.
So yeah, and then I worked at like a golf course cleaning carts. Didn't get fired from there, but I think that was pretty much around the time where I'm like, I'm just going to concentrate on music.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did you like, as a kid, did you have this weird desire to pursue music? Because I'm just like, that's pretty crazy that you were like, you felt so strongly about it, you were like, I'm not going to college, I want to pursue this.
No, I didn't, honestly. Like, I always loved music as a kid, just like everybody else did, you know. Like, I was obsessed with like Justin Timberlake and NSYNC and Backstreet Boys, and you know, I would sit in front of the TV and watch like their MTV award performances and like rewind it and like memorize the dances. But like, I never wanted to like be a superstar. Mm-hmm. Like, I just wanted to just like be a fan of the music, you know what I mean? And like when I started to get serious about making music in senior year, it wasn't like I want to do this and get famous. It was more just like, I just want to keep doing this because it's so much fun, and I'm getting like thousands of views. It was like 2,000 or 3,000 views on YouTube. But, like,
yeah, because you were uploading on YouTube.
Yeah.
Yes.
Back then it was just Facebook and YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Mm-hmm. I don't even think I had an Instagram. TikTok wasn't a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Vine wasn't even a thing yet. So I would make a music video with like my sister, put it on YouTube, and share the link to Facebook, and that was it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And I was only getting feedback from like kids in my high school and like my family. But everyone was like, you're actually like, you kind of got like flow. Like, you're actually kind of good.
Whoa, that's crazy. Yeah. I feel like most high schoolers are like, let's make fun of the person that's uploading on YouTube.
There was a lot of that too. There was a lot of that too. Yeah, I couldn't really tell. I couldn't gauge whether everyone was like, I was the only kid from like my city making music.
Uh-huh.
So I couldn't gauge whether like all the people that were commenting were more like, this is just so like different. Mm-hmm. Or if it was like, you're actually good. So I don't know. Once I decided to like stay home, I kind of slowly started getting like hit up by people in the music industry, managers, record labels. And that was kind of like me and my family's confirmation that like, okay, maybe it's not just like my friends hyping me up.
And was this when you had already decided to take the break or the gap year?
There might have been one or two people who hit me up prior that was like, okay, these people are in the industry and they know what they're talking about. So, you know, I feel better.
And you really think it was YouTube that got like eyes on you?
That's the only thing there was.
Wow.
Yeah, that's the only thing there was. I probably had, you know, 10 music videos out. I had some like local news stations come to my house and do interviews about me. So I was getting like local press.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, it was cool. And then the next 2 years, I just stayed home at my parents' house, grinded my butt off and, you know, slowly gained a really great fan base.
And were you writing, like making songs at this time?
Nonstop.
Okay.
Yeah, all my friends went off to college.
And then putting them out on YouTube.
Yeah, like nonstop. I had like a studio nearby that I would just go, this guy would record me, I would pay like an hourly rate. And yeah, I had nothing else to do. All my friends were at college making friends and joining fraternities, and I was still
You're
living
like,
at my parents'
house.
You're
like, play this at
your frat. Yeah, pretty much. No, yeah, at that point it was just like, my whole life felt like it was up in the air. Like, I didn't know if it was a good decision or not, but yeah.
Well, my question for you is, because this is all about like making moves, I love giving tips to the audience. Like, for someone that has a desire, whether it's music or being a YouTuber or whatever the case is, like now, and you know, they're at this fork in the road where they're like, do I go to college? Do I pursue this kind of thing? Like, what tip or piece of advice would you give them when they're like, I don't know if I'm even like, can I turn this into a career? Like, they're at that point you were at. Like, do you have any advice for someone like that?
I mean, I always think about like when I have kids one day and I have a son who's 18 and he looks at me and says, I don't want to go to college. I want to concentrate on whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I was there. I took that leap and, you know, it paid off for me. Not to say it's obviously going to pay off for everybody, but if you put in the hard work and, you know, you get a little bit lucky also, then obviously it would work. But yeah, I mean, of course I would just tell anybody to just follow their passion, no matter what that is, no matter how crazy it is. But you should also kind of set boundaries and limitations also, like a time frame.
Love that.
Yeah, like what I did, because, you know, you can't go your whole life just, you know, trying to make a dream
hoping
come
true.
Hoping
you make it. Yeah.
So I made a deal with my parents. I said, give me 1 year. And that was the deal. And I was totally down to go to college a year late if I could look in the mirror a year later and be like, that was a poor decision. You know, and you can also go to college and, you know, make music on the side. Like, if you can do that at the same time, go for it. I'm the type of person that like has to put 100% into one thing, not like 50% into two things. So yeah, I mean, I would tell anybody to go for it, but kind of set a time boundary.
Like a time frame or a boundary. Yeah,
I love
that. You
gotta be realistic.
I love that advice, because sometimes I feel like I even have friends where I'm like, okay, this is like your 10th year trying to act.
Yeah.
And like nothing's happened. Like, when do you stop?
Yeah, but it's tough. I mean, you hear about these actors and
who make it big when they're like 50 years old.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. It's possible. I mean, I guess it depends if you're like financially stable enough to like, you know, not make a steady income for 10, 20 years and just pursue a dream. That's, you know, a very lucky position to be in.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, yeah, you should probably get some kind of side job, some Uber or restaurant while you're pursuing this dream.
Totally. What was your first check from regarding music? Like, when did you get your first check? How much was it? What were you doing?
It was the greatest. It literally was like the greatest thing ever. I remember coming home and my dad was like sitting in like his office and he's like, you won't believe what just happened. I've never talked about this. So I'm like, I can't wait for my dad to watch this, because he's just going to probably cry when he hears about this. It's not like emotional, but like for us, it was just such a moment. He called me and he's like, you're never going to guess what just happened.
Uh-huh.
I just got a hit up from this lady and she wants you to perform at like her daughter's 13-year-old birthday and they want to pay you. And I'm like, they want to pay me? Like, what do you mean? Like, just to sing?
Uh-huh.
Like, I didn't know anything about the industry, so I'm like, that wasn't a thing to me. That wasn't even a thought. And we go to this girl's birthday. I get paid a check of $500. I still have a picture of it. And
that's
a
lot.
Yeah, for a high school kid.
For 13,
kid,
yeah.
That's like what I would make for in weeks at Cold Stone.
Are you kidding? If someone came and performed, my parents made $500 for someone to perform, I would be freaking out. That's a great, like, what the heck? That's a lot.
I mean, coming from someone who was making $6 an hour bagging groceries doing something I hated.
Absolutely.
$500 was like more than I made in,
you're like, I can buy anything.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. But it wasn't even about that. It was more this experience of going to this birthday party. And it was the first time ever that me and my dad experienced real life fans.
Yeah.
So they like snuck me in through like up this ladder up to the second floor window. And
so
I remember
it was a surprise.
It was a surprise.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
And the whole night was just my first experience of like fangirls, like screaming, everyone, cameras in my face. They wouldn't leave me alone, and I loved it. I was like, this is it. Like, I made it.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the night, all these guys were, like, trying to get me to my dad's car. And I remember sitting in my dad's – this was the moment. Me and my dad sitting in my dad's car about to leave in the driveway of this girl's house. And all of these girls, 13 years old, like, knocking on the car window. And me and my dad were just like, holy shit.
That is crazy.
Yeah. And, like, of course, like, I knew of Justin Bieber and I knew of, like, these, like, Jonas Brothers, but, like, I didn't really pay attention to their lives. So, like, the whole fangirl culture, I was not, you know, aware of. So that was the first time I not only, like, saw it for me, but, like, saw it in general. I'm like, oh, my God, like, this is crazy.
Yeah.
And that was, like, the first time that I, like, saw real fans.
And what the heck is your dad doing this moment? Is he just, like, speechless? Like, what the heck?
Yeah, we always talk about this, like, sitting in the car in that moment because it was... It was like a turning point for us. It was like, you know, you have fans. Like, they're maybe not a lot of them, but they're there in the world. And, like, how do we make more of this type of fan? They're crazy about you. Like, it was like I was Justin Bieber.
Yeah.
And I was just a high school kid. I'm like, I wish all my friends and, you know, they could all see this. This is, I felt like the Beatles.
Wow. And did the little girl, was she a fan of you from your YouTube videos?
Yeah. It was still only YouTube. I didn't even have
that
an Instagram, no Twitter.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I was like, what were they taking? I was going to say, like, or were they taking photos for their Snapchat story? But probably not. Probably wasn't even a thing yet.
That's a good question. Maybe just their Facebook. It was probably just Facebook.
Probably Facebook.
I mean, Facebook back then was,
you
was
know, like, it was MySpace. Everything. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
MySpace was even a thing back then. It was Facebook and MySpace.
Whoa. Yeah. What a cool story. And also, I'm sure it was so rewarding to see your dad's reaction.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because you're like, oh, thank God. Like,
yeah. Yeah, it was a little bit of, like, confirmation, and he's like, you know, because obviously it's not hard for, I mean, it's not easy for my parents to say, yeah, no problem, just don't go to college. Like, I remember a lot of, like, my friends' parents would, like, kind of pull my parents aside and be like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Why are you letting them do this? And so slowly things would happen where my parents were like, this was a good decision, and
and now the parents are asking for you to send a video to the kid. Yeah, that's how it works.
It's pretty cool.
Thank you so much to Apartments.com for sponsoring this episode of Making Moves. Apartments.com believes a dishwasher does more than just clean plates. It turns your whole place into a time machine by turning the time you would have spent washing dishes into extra time for you. That could mean more time to read, more time to knit, or more time to contemplate the vastness of time itself. With Apartments.com, finding somewhere to live with an elusive dishwashing/time-expanding device is easy. Apartments.com hosts the most rental listings with over 1 million available units. And with comprehensive search tools and instant alerts, you never have to worry about missing out on the perfect place. To find whatever you're searching for and more, visit Apartments.com, the place to find a place.
The one thing that has kept me sane throughout the 75 Hard Challenge, and more importantly, has kept me hydrated the most, is Liquid IV. Y'all, when I tell you, I literally crave Liquid IV. Like, the lemon lime flavor lives rent-free in my head. First of all, it just always quenches my thirst, but it is perfectly sour and has that tangy taste to it, and it's just so good. Like, a nice, cold, crisp glass of Liquid IV. Oh my gosh, mwah! Sounds so good. Whether you hydrate to live or live to hydrate, Liquid IV quenches your thirst faster than water alone. With 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drinks, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness, all in a single sugar-free stick. So I actually just taste tested all of the flavors for you guys. The pear, the white peach, the green grape, and the lemon lime. And I have to tell you, I still think lemon lime is my favorite. But my second favorite is green grape. And then my third favorite, believe it or not, is pear. I'm actually shocked by how much I like pear. And then in fourth place for me was the white peach. My favorite thing about Liquid IV is how convenient it is, especially because I am always on the go. I am booked and busy, and I'm sure you guys are too. So being able to pack it so easily in a purse or a carry-on or whatever the case is, like my work bag, I always have a Liquid IV in there because throughout my day, I get so thirsty and nothing truly satisfies my thirst craving other than a Liquid IV. Like, it is so good. I literally want to make one right now. And listen, drinking water is great. Like, I've been drinking so much water while doing the 75 hard challenge, but one stick of Liquid IV in 16 ounces of water hydrates you way better than water alone. And I love it because I feel like it actually revives me. And the best part about it is that there's no artificial sweeteners and zero sugar. However you hydrate, grab your Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier, sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco, or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use code TK at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop better hydration today using promo code TK at liquidiv.com.
Being close, it sounds like you're close with your parents.
Extremely.
Yeah, same. And it's such a blessing, but sometimes I know for some kids it's a little bit of a curse because you all you want is your parents' approval.
Yeah.
And it's the best thing when you have that moment.
Yeah.
But also it is tough when like you're like, they don't understand it yet. And then you finally get the check or you finally get the moment. And then it all like comes together. But I mean, that is such a cool story.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, definitely like being part of something that like no one can really see like the full vision. But like you see it, like that's a very special like place to be in. Just knowing like one day you'll see the vision. So yeah, that was a really cool night for us.
Explain to me your point of view of fangirls, because I have girls that like watch my videos or whatever, and I have like friends who are huge, massive like female YouTuber people, and they have fans. But I feel like there is nothing like a fangirl when it's a guy musician. Like, there's nothing compares to that type of fan.
No, I mean, it's very different than when I started, I'll say that. Like in 2013 when I first started making music, and it was like a very like, it was just a cool moment in like pop music because there weren't that many male artists doing it. So yeah, there was a moment, you can ask Scott, like we couldn't even go to the mall. Like we would have to have mall security walk us around because I swear, it was insane.
Did you just think you were the coolest person in the world?
I really did.
Actually.
And I kind of got like, I think I was too young to appreciate how cool it was. And I was also too young to like not be annoyed by it. Like if I was a 30-year-old and I couldn't walk outside, I would have been like, this is not the life I want. But yeah, we needed police escorts places. It was insane.
How old were you at this time?
I was like 22, 23.
Oh my gosh, that is the dream.
Yeah. And it's not because like there was millions more fans. It was just that these fans were like crazy.
Loyal. Yeah, yeah.
And just like young, very young. Mm-hmm. So they would scream, like they wouldn't know boundaries. Like they would, no personal space. Like, you know, this was also before a pandemic. So everyone's just in your face and you can't even walk. And I had to have a security guard on tour. Like now I would never bring a security guard on tour. But I thought it was nothing but really cool. But I do think that the coolest part is that throughout my career, I've seen these people grow with me. And now it's like I walk out of the tour bus and everyone's just super cool, super chill. We could just stand there and have a normal conversation like two people rather than like shrieking screams.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I don't really have any of those like insanely, you know, kind of like inappropriate fangirls anymore. It's just, I think, yeah, they're just kind of like, I'll go to the shows now and it's like almost everyone is like my age.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
It's cool because they probably like a lot of people grew up with you.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
They like remained loyal or fans. I think that just goes to show like the longevity of your career and, you know, how like awesome you are as a person because people want to stick with you.
Yeah. No, I couldn't be more thankful that like I've seen so many fans from day one who are still coming to the shows.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, it's all an artist wants, like is fans like that, you know what I mean? So to answer your question, whether they're extremely young and you don't know personal space or whether they're my age and, you know, really super chill, you know, I just appreciate every person that obviously supports me. And, you know, I just, now that I'm older, I kind of, you know, I want to be treated like a human rather than like a monkey in a zoo.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Do you have like the utmost empathy for people like Justin Bieber and like Harry Styles, like dealing with that on a daily basis for years and years and years? Like, yeah, how do they do that?
No idea. I could never do that. I could never be in that position where I can't leave my house, or, you know, maybe if I was single, it would be easy. But like, when you have a girlfriend and you're walking around in public with a girlfriend and like everyone's kind of like giving me attention and like I can't even find her because like there's people around, like that's not the life I want to live. Mm-hmm. I want to be able to go out with my girlfriend and just, you know, have a normal day, not be bothered. You know, if someone comes up and says, I love your music, like that makes me so happy.
Yes.
But yeah, I don't know how they do it. I don't think I could ever live that lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. I know. I always, whenever I'm like scrolling on TikTok and I see like a paparazzi video or whatever, I'm like, that is crazy. That's their everyday life.
Yeah.
Mind boggling.
But they've gotten used to it, I guess. So. Uh-huh. But yeah.
I would be like an anxious ball of a mess.
Yeah, for sure. And knowing that like every single time you step out of your house, like people probably want to look good. Yeah, everyone's looking. People are filming. Can't pick your nose.
Yeah.
That's bad.
That's the worst.
I love picking my nose.
I know. Okay, so I saw in an interview you said one of your favorite things is performing on stage.
Yeah.
But used to be like a nervous wreck about it.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about that. Like, why are you so comfortable with it now? Like, why is it your favorite thing?
Like, even right now when we're talking, everyone kind of says like I'm a super chill person. Like my family kind of always gives me shit because like you can never tell if I'm like in an extremely great mood or like feeling super sad. Like I'm always just kind of here. I never really like to like show what I'm feeling.
Got it.
But on stage, I just kind of flip a switch and I'm just like,
you're
an animal.
Jake Miller.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just an animal. I'm jumping. I'm sweating. I just feel like, you know, powerful. I don't know. And there's just something so like beautiful about seeing all these people in the crowd singing like the words that, you know, you wrote in your bedroom, or
that's crazy.
Yeah. And just like seeing all like the impacts that, you know, these songs have made, and like seeing people in the crowd crying or you know, hugging and dancing with their boyfriend and girlfriend while I'm singing, like we're like making experiences, real life experiences for people through these songs that I just like casually write with my friends. So
awesome. Do you have like a pre-show ritual or anything like silly that no one knows about that you do? Like, what's in your green room? What do you ask for? Like Cheetos? Like
we
tequila?
Keep it pretty. Yeah, we got Jameson.
Okay,
I'm a Jameson guy on tour.
Okay.
Yeah, I take one smell of Jameson and it just brings me back to like 10 minutes before showtime.
Really?
Yeah.
When you're on tour, there's so many shows. So are you drinking like before every show, or do you sometimes
we'll take
not
a shot?
Drink?
We'll take a shot before every show.
Loosen up a little.
Yeah, for sure. Some nights, you know, the road definitely wears on you. So some nights you actually like need a shot to kind of like, you know,
get you going
for sure. But our green room is pretty healthy. I mean, we got some fruit, we got some Kind bars.
Mm-hmm. Love a Kind bar.
Yeah, love Kind bars. We have those little Listerine mints that we just take everywhere because after a full show, you kind of just have like cotton mouth.
Oh my gosh, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
That's so true.
Those are super important. Other than that, we really don't have much in the green room. We spend most of the time in the tour bus, and then like that's kind of our green room, and then 10 minutes before the show we'll go into like the venue green room. So on the bus we're like, you know, blasting Drake or whatever. We got some dumbbells from Walmart that we're getting a quick pump in. That's pretty much it.
Okay, so is that your hype song, Drake? Or like
he's probably our go-to hype artist. Yeah.
Got
for
it.
Sure. Yeah.
I know. There's nothing like a little nice for what to get you going.
For sure. We have different moods, though. It's like my drummer's always shirtless in the tour bus, like going crazy with the weights. And sometimes we're listening to like Lainey.
Love Lainey.
Yeah, we love Lainey. Sometimes we're listening to like, have you ever heard of Dirty Loops?
No.
Dirty Loops is sick. They're very like musical and just like musical geniuses.
Okay.
That's kind of what we listen to like when we're like excited to go on stage and like put on the best show possible in terms of like killing our instruments.
Uh-huh.
But then Drake is like what we listen to, and like we just want to feel like gods walking on stage. But yeah, we got different moods.
Do you have a dream artist you would like love to collab with? I mean, obviously Drake would be like amazing, but do you have any others?
Yeah, I think John Bellion and John Mayer would be my top two.
Oh my gosh, I could see it.
Yeah.
John Bellion is like, that's so you.
Yeah, no, he's like my biggest inspiration in terms of like the music that I make, in terms of the music that I love and listen to. I think John Mayer would be my number one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I even have a John Mayer tattoo. Stop this train.
Shut Up.
Yeah, my favorite song.
Wow.
Yeah.
So those are like, would that ever happen? Like, have you ever talked to them? Like, how close is that to happening?
I've met John Bellion a few times. I actually, like, it was like maybe 2013, 2014, and I ran into him at the studio, Atlantic Studio here on like Cahuenga or something. Mm-hmm. And this was like before he really came out with like any of his, like, no one really knew about him, mm-hmm. even as a songwriter. Now he's like writing and producing every song that you, like Holy by Justin Bieber, Maroon 5 songs. Like, he's not only doing his own solo stuff.
I did not know he did Holy.
Yeah, he did Holy. And it was originally for Sam Smith.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I love those TikToks where they tell you like, oh, I produced this song and it was originally for Ariana Grande. I'm like,
yeah,
that's crazy.
Yeah, for sure. But running to him, I've told him multiple times how big of a fan I am. There was one time that we even sat there in the studio and kind of showed each other mm-hmm. new music that was coming out. I showed him the song called Lionheart that was about to come out. He showed me a song called Immigrant.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, this was so long ago. And then he just kind of blew up. But I can definitely say I was one of John Bellion's like first fans. For sure.
That's pretty cool.
For sure. And then John Mayer, I mean, he's shouted me out once on like Instagram Live.
Shut up.
That like made my life.
Wait, why?
I think I had like a bunch of my fans just kind of flood the comments and just say, Jake Miller's in here, Jake Miller's in here. And then he just said like, oh, everyone's in here tonight. Jake Miller, what's up? I see you. Or like something like that.
Oh my gosh.
He probably just saw the blue check and just
your heart
know.
Skips a beat.
You're for like, sure. For sure. Yeah.
Well, how does that like work in the, because I only know like podcast and YouTube world, like how collabs happen. I'm like, how do features and stuff like that happen? Because sometimes I'll see like videos and they'll like meet at the music video. Like the artists never met.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that is crazy. How does that happen?
Yeah, that happened to me, actually. I had a song called Dazed and Confused with Travie McCoy from Gym Class Heroes. We met at the music video set.
Stop.
Yeah.
And how did that happen? Like, were your man? Is it your teams that arranged it?
For that one, it was. Yeah. I mean, I think that was just like my label paid him. And, you know, they probably also paid him to show up to the music video shoot. But, you know, nowadays, I'm like not really a big feature guy. I think in the last 10 years and like the 300-400 songs I've released, I've maybe had like 5 features, mm-hmm. and 4 out of 5 of those were not paid. They were just, you know, friendly, you know, people that I
like either, let's make a song.
Yeah, people I found on TikTok, a friend of a friend, someone who I just think has a great voice. So that's kind of like where I am in terms of like, you know, features. I only want to work with people that like either I'm really good friends with or I just love their music. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I agree. I feel like it's, you can tell that across the board with like with the music, you're like, wow, they're a great match, or they're a great pair. It's hard to, you know, make something good when you don't even know the person.
For sure.
I would say.
For sure.
Speaking of TikTok, how much do you take that into consideration when like making music now? Because that I see all the time, people are like, I can't release this till my label, or till this goes viral, like my label, blah, 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 blah. Like,
I actually just made a TikTok making fun of that exact situation. Because I would never put myself in the situation where a label is telling me you can't put this song out until this happens. Like,
but I'm like, how does Halsey get in that situation? Or is that fake?
No, I think it's real. I mean, she's on a different level than me, obviously. I think like she has probably so many cooks in the kitchen, so many people at her
telling
label.
Telling her what to do, yeah.
And not even telling her what to do, but also just guiding her. And she probably really respects it, you know, because they have so much success together as a team. So she probably thinks like, yeah, I wish I could put this song out, but if my label's telling me it's not really showing much traction, maybe they're right. Maybe I should go with another single. I don't know. For me, it's like if I make a song and I love it, it's coming out no matter what. Mm-hmm. I don't care what anyone says. And my label knows that. They're cool with it. But I do definitely take TikTok into consideration for like promoting a song, but I would never think about TikTok while writing a song.
Okay.
It's never like, oh my God, that line's perfect because like it's so TikTokable.
Yeah.
Never would
I
do that.
But I swear like artists think like that now.
Yeah. And to each his own, but for me it's more like once the song is done, I'm like, okay, it's time to promote it. What are like clever TikToks I can do?
Got it.
And I don't like doing them.
Okay.
But it's important.
It is.
It's important. And the fact that obviously, you know, like this algorithm, whatever it is, that mm-hmm. just allows millions of new people who have never heard of Jake Miller to hear Jake mm-hmm. Miller's music all of a sudden, that's like a dream come true for an artist.
Have you ever had someone, like one of your songs go viral because someone made a dance to it or anything like that yet?
We did have somebody make a dance for, there's a TikToker named Baby Ariel.
Oh, I don't know who that is.
Yeah, I've known her for quite a while. I think she's from Florida. So I asked her to do a dance to the song called Save Me during the pandemic. Uh-huh. And she's got a lot of influence, so a lot of other people started doing the dance. And
so you just asked her, and she's like, yeah, no problem.
We probably paid her a little bit.
Okay.
I think my label paid her a little bit. But yeah, and then a couple thousand people started doing the dance, and mm-hmm. yeah.
I mean, I would do it. I would pay someone to do a little dance to my song, too.
Yeah, it's crazy these days, just like how much like promo has changed. Like, no one's buying, like, I would never think of like buying a billboard anymore. I would think of, you know, getting a TikToker to make a dance. And that's just such a different world.
It's crazy, too, like the amount of songs that have resurfaced and like become like that hit again. Like, I'm thinking of like the song that was just in Stranger Things, The Running Up That Hill by Kate, mm-hmm. whatever.
Yeah,
I forget
what
you're
talking about.
Yeah, like, never in a million years would I like have that on one of my playlists, right? But because of TikTok, not even because of Stranger Things, like because of TikTok, me seeing it so much, like me making videos to it, I'm like, wait, I kind of love this song. Like, I'm adding it to my playlist.
For sure.
And now that Kate artist is probably like, what the heck? Like, actually.
My song just went double platinum 20 years later. Yeah, crazy.
It is crazy.
I saw like Cool Kids by Echo Smith is now blowing up. But that's a great song.
Uh-huh.
That was always kind of like a hit. But yeah, it's just so funny. And like, and also, the songs almost never go viral, like, in the way that you hear them on Spotify. They're, like, pitched up or down or sound like chipmunks.
So true.
Right?
Yes. Or it's, like, the one part, like, I'm thinking Billie Eilish's song, like, I'm the bad guy, and then duh. Like, that's such a TikTok sound.
Right, for sure.
But, like, when she was making that, she probably never in a million years thought, like, oh, there will be, like, 5 million videos with that sound.
Right.
Like, it's crazy.
Cats jumping off like roofs with that sound in the back. So random. What a weird world we live in. I feel like once a day I'll just like take a second and be like, what a weird time.
Exactly. It is weird.
So weird.
I guess my question is, are you strategic now? It sounds like you are with your marketing using TikTok.
Yeah, I try to be. I mean, it's really just, you know, once the song is done and, you know, 2 or 3 weeks before the song comes out, like, what can I do on TikTok to hype people up mm-hmm. and to get people excited? I don't know.
Are there any artists you look at who you think, or you look up to, that think utilize TikTok a great way to promote their music?
I think Charlie Puth does a pretty good job.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. But it's also like, the bigger you are, the more views you'll get, the more the algorithm will work, the more followers you'll, it's like, it's a snowball effect. Like, it's probably like super easy for someone who has like 20 million followers to just go viral with every post.
Mm-hmm.
If every one of my posts were going viral, yeah, I'm sure TikTok would be really fun.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, making a video and taking an hour to make a video and then it not really doing anything is kind of like, why am I doing this again?
Yeah.
But it's important. You never know.
I think, do you know Olivia O'Brien?
Yeah.
I think she does a good job using TikTok too.
Okay. I haven't seen her.
She TikTok. Like... I love her music, so maybe it's just like it works on me.
Yeah.
But I think that the way that she uses TikTok, like, I'm like invested. Like, I know she has a song releasing soon because of the way she's been promoting it on TikTok.
Yeah.
Which is crazy because otherwise I would have no idea.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I think that's like little trailers like leading up to it, or like, you know, I see a lot of people who are like, oh, like, just started this song, like, leave some comments of like some words and you guys can help me finish writing it. Like, mm-hmm. involving the fans in like the writing process, I think, is a really cool idea. It's tough.
Did you see, you know, the song that's the ABC, that song? Did you see how that happened?
No.
Oh my gosh. So basically, this TikToker or this musician was like, comment down below what I should write a song about, right? And one of the comments was the alphabet, like A, B, C, D, E, F, U.
Wow.
Right? And someone commented that, and then she took the comment and like released her song, right? Which was the fuck you.
Yeah.
I can't sing. But what was crazy is people found out later on that that was her label who commented it.
I was just
going
to say.
And it was fake.
I was just going to say, I'm sure. It's not a bad move.
Really good move, but also like, what the heck?
Yeah. I mean, I was just, while you were telling me the story, I'm like, should I be the one that's like controversial and say it was probably her like side account who posted that? But yeah, I could.
Genius.
That's a good
move.
Idea. Great idea.
Yeah, I thought it was very interesting.
For sure.
I don't know. It's just like, it's crazy what the internet makes popular now. Like, the TikTok stars are celebrities.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's like thousands of celebrities being, you know, discovered every day.
Crazy.
And it's like you just heard of them and they have like 20 million followers and like, who is this person?
But I know.
I think that's also like a really cool thing that, you know, with 2022. It's just people who are just in their homes doing, you know, arts and crafts or something now have the power to be, to reach millions of people. Mm-hmm. Like, it's really cool.
What do you think about the TikTokers who blow up on TikTok and then they start making music?
I can't blame them. I mean, nobody wants to just be a TikToker. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. if you're going to get that much fame, you obviously, I mean, I would think you would want to
bring it
into
it in
acting
way.
Or modeling or, you know, or whatever. So, yeah, I definitely, I can't hate on it. Mm-hmm. Do I like more competition? No.
Yeah.
But yeah, I can't hate on it for
it
sure.
It makes your loyal fans more, I guess, and it probably makes you feel really good when someone's like loyal to you because there's yeah. so many people to be a fan of now.
For sure. And it also feels good that like even 10 years later after making music, like when most people are cannonball effects and they just get really popular and then a year later you never hear about them again, it does feel nice to like be able to say like I've been doing this for 10 years and, you know, although there's a lot more competition and a lot more artists out there, like I still do have a great fan base.
That's
been
so hard to
me.
Stay relevant for 10 years in
for
this
sure.
world.
For sure. And it's, yeah. it's getting harder. So
congrats. That's
thank
amazing.
You. I appreciate it. Yeah,
that's a long career in this
you.
World.
Want a website with unmatched power, speed, and control? Try Bluehost Cloud, the new web hosting plan from Bluehost, built for WordPress creators by WordPress experts. With 100% uptime, incredible load times, and 24/7 WordPress priority support, your sites will be lightning fast with global reach. And with Bluehost Cloud, your sites can handle surges in traffic no matter how big. Plus, you automatically get daily backups and world-class security. Get started now at Bluehost.com.
What do you see as a game-changing move you made in your career that you're like, thank God I did that? Like looking back now.
I would say one game changer was signing with a major record label. And
okay.
one game changer was deciding to do the opposite and go independent. Just to see both worlds.
Mm.
Because I signed to Warner Brothers in like 2015. It was honestly great for a while. I got the full machine behind me for the first time. Mm-hmm. So like we were shooting $150,000 music videos.
Crazy.
Yeah, it was insane. And Warner Brothers was paying for it all. And they were inviting me to the Grammys and here and there. And it was just, you know, I was getting the full treatment. Like I, mm-hmm. I was made.
You were doing the thing.
They made me feel like a superstar. Couple years later, you know, different artists, you know, the passion, the connection between me and the label is not really as strong anymore, some disagreements creatively. So I decided to go independent.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was kind of like the number one thing I've done in my career, because that was a moment where I'm like, I no longer have Warner Brothers producers to make me beats and music. I need to learn how to make my own beats.
Mm-hmm. It's almost like starting from scratch
yeah.
in a way.
Yeah, and just becoming, like taking all those roles and harnessing them into just mm-hmm. me, into one person. So that's when I learned how to make my own music, to write and produce. I locked myself in my room and, you know, learned piano on YouTube. And yeah, I think that was probably the best thing that ever happened. And I kind of just took all the creative reins by myself and just said, I'm just going to learn how to do all this by myself.
Mm-hmm. How rewarding, though.
It was awesome. I remember uploading my first independent album called 2 a.m. in L.A. like mm-hmm. to this website called TuneCore, which is basically what you do when you don't have a label. You just go on this website, you pay like $50 a year, and you click iTunes, Apple Music, Spotify,
wow.
Amazon, like all the places you want
yeah.
your album. And I uploaded it, and it felt amazing. It was just like a full album that I made in my apartment at the Palazzo in West Hollywood by myself.
Oh my gosh, I know the exact apartment. Oh, it's like across from the Grove.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, iconic.
I spent like 4 years there.
It's a great apartment
yeah.
place. Question, like, do you make money from that?
Yeah. Well,
how do you make money?
Back in the day, like of iTunes, there was great checks coming in. Like when no one
buy a song.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I would come out with an album and I would go on Twitter and we would do like, you know, this hashtag Jake Miller album and it would be trending and everyone would be going and buying the album for $19.99 and it would go number one on iTunes. Like those were some fun days. Now it's just like you put it out and people stream it, they watch it for free on YouTube and streaming money is like nothing.
How do you make streaming money?
I don't.
You don't.
It's very small. I make most of my money on tour through brand deals. Yeah, I mean, streaming, you have to have a song that gets like 100 million streams to really see any kind of money.
That is like, that's so frustrating.
Yeah.
I wish there was, it's funny because I'm like, as a listener, I love streaming.
Yeah.
Because I pay my little subscription and I get everyone's songs.
Yeah.
But I feel bad for the artist because even me with my YouTube videos, if like, I don't know. If I didn't get paid what I do from uploading, no. That would be really frustrating.
For sure. And, you know, I don't pay for anyone's music either.
Yeah.
Like, nobody really does. Only time I would pay for music these days is like a vinyl, mm-hmm. maybe.
Yeah, that's so true.
Yeah. And that's more just like because I love that album.
People even release CDs?
I don't think so. I don't know where to buy CDs.
Yeah, where do you buy CDs?
Used to be in Best Buy and Target and what's the one that just closed? The one in the mall. I forgot what it's called.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I don't know where to get CDs anymore.
But you will get a small check from like Spotify or iTunes or whatever?
Yeah.
Okay. I always wonder that. But it's mainly from touring. And what do you mean from touring? From selling tickets?
From selling tickets, from meet and greets, really, from the merch.
Oh.
Yeah. Really just the meet and greets and the merch.
And the merch.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
It's crazy the amount of work that goes into and like that's the one thing you get money from.
I know. It's crazy.
Are you promoting your merch a lot? Like... Mm-hmm. Via on stage or internet?
Yeah, definitely on the internet. I like to think I do a good job promoting merch just because it's fun to include the fans. So like on tour, I'll have my photographer run around the venue and take like professional pictures of my fans wearing the merch.
Cute.
And yeah, so like they're the models of it. Mm-hmm. And I have like an Instagram page just for the merch and it's all just pictures of my fans repping the merch.
Oh, wow. That's really smart.
And the merch is like, my merch company is sick.
Yeah.
Like, we have really cool stuff. So, yeah.
I feel like you have a good eye. I could see it being, like not even... me looking at it and not even realizing it's merch.
Yeah, this most recent one that we're about to do on this tour, I wanted it to look like you would buy, like, in a store.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like Urban Outfitters or something.
Yeah, for sure.
Awesome. What would you say is, like, the best piece of advice you've gotten so far in your career? That you would like to share to others?
My dad always used to tell me when I played baseball, mm-hmm. I was a pitcher, he would always tell me to just pretend I'm in a bubble and, you know, blur out everyone on the outside of the field or anybody, you know,
interesting,
screaming at me or whatever. Put myself in a bubble and just kind of tunnel vision on what you're looking at. And so I kind of just apply that to everything because there's so much like outside noise and social media and, you know, haters or whatever. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, just put yourself in that bubble and just concentrate on what you want and what makes you happy. Not even in your career, really just like concentrate on what makes you happy. Do what you want to do, that the things that make you happy. So I think that's probably like the best piece of advice I've received. It's pretty basic, but I live by it.
When is a moment that you are telling yourself that?
I mean, there's like points in my career every now and then where it just like feel like it's just like everything where like sometimes I'll feel like I'm at a peak and I'm mm-hmm. like, this is amazing, this is great,
I was born for this.
Yeah, I was born for this. And then there's sometimes, you know, where I'm getting ticket counts and, you know, we're not selling as many tickets as I want, and or, you know, I see social media numbers dropping, and it's like those moments don't feel good at all. Mm-hmm. But that's just life. It's the ups and the downs. And so at those moments I always just kind of remember, like, you know, I have great friends, I have a great family, I live in an awesome city, I'm in mm-hmm. Los Angeles doing what I love, like, I can't really complain. And so I just put myself in kind of just like that bubble of like, all I need is like what I have right here. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Is there anything you do that's tangible in the bubble? Like, do you sometimes resort to a journal? Do you sometimes go on, or like you resort to the gym? Like, is there anything like that?
In terms of just like clearing my head?
Yeah.
I like to be outside.
If you're in a funk.
Yeah.
What do you do?
I mean, to be honest, I'm never really like in funks. It's more just like little moments that like, you know, I would never be like in a funk for like multiple days. Mm-hmm. It's more just like something that's on my mind. And I feel like I'm pretty good at kind of just like, I don't know if it's healthy, but just kind of like bottling it up and just saying like, you know what, you're too lucky and you have too many great things in your life to like mm-hmm. be stressing about this. Life is short. Just shut up about it. Mm-hmm. So I kind of just forget about it. But yeah, I mean, I like to spend a lot of time outside. We go to the beach a lot. We play volleyball. We go on road trips. This is the place to do it. You know, California is beautiful. So you know, I'll call my parents. Mm-hmm. That's like probably one thing, like on the way to the gym or something, I'll just call my mom every morning and mm-hmm. just catch up. And that kind of puts things in perspective.
Do you call your parents every day?
Every day.
I call my parents every day too.
Yeah, every day. And then I text them throughout the whole day, uh-huh. for sure.
What advice, I guess, would you give to someone that's like not as tight with their parents and they're, that makes them sad? Like, how do you... And it's like, what are you talking to your parents on the phone about? Like, I feel like some people think it's like, oh, I have to like tell them everything. Like, I guess what advice would you give to someone who you could, you have such a good relationship with them?
I mean, if you don't, you know, if you're not that close with your family, I do think it's possible for anyone in the world to find at least one person that you can like kind of, you know, have that person to talk to. Like, you know, I think anybody should be able to find one good friend mm-hmm. who can listen to you and you can just kind of vent to them. And I think it's important to have that. But what do I talk to them about? I mean, I don't really call my mom to vent. It's more just like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You know?
Catching up.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to the studio today. I'm doing a podcast. I'm doing like, you know, it's more just like hearing your mom and dad's voice mm-hmm. that kind of makes you like put things in perspective. Like, okay, like what I'm worried about is kind
so
of
so minuscule.
Yeah. Very small compared to like, What life is about.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I feel like you, something I'm admiring a lot about you is you're really good at maintaining relationships with people, whether it's your parents, whether it's your ride or die guy out there,
yeah.
Whether it's your girlfriend. Like, how do you do that so well?
Well, I mean, I also have a lot of people in my life who have come and gone, just friendships that didn't work out mm-hmm. and stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, as the years go by, I'm sure you can attest this as well. Like, there's people that like you just, they just prove over and over again, like how great of people they are, how great of friends they are. Like, they're going to just be with you through all the ups and downs. And, mm-hmm. you know, like Scooter out there, he's been with me since day one. And so like nothing he could ever do really, besides like kill my cats or something, could make me like not love him. Like, he's just been with me through everything.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, family, I mean, they couldn't do anything to make me not love them. Like, that's family.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Are you good at reaching out to people?
I'm trying to get better at reaching out to like the people I grew up with.
Okay.
Who are on the East Coast still
mm-hmm.
in New York or Florida, like living completely separate lives. And so I'll talk to like some of my close friends maybe once a month on the phone. But other than that, like, besides family, which I talk to all the time, I'm trying to get better at like calling my grandma.
Me too.
Yeah.
It is hard.
Yeah. It's very hard. Like, sometimes you like, it's sad, but like sometimes you just kind of like forget about them.
And I know.
It's like you can't, because, you know, their life is, you know, very precious, and
mm-hmm.
And you're going to like definitely value those phone conversations one day when they're not around anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying. That was one of my New Year's resolutions this
year.
That's
a good resolution.
Yeah. I haven't been doing very well. But
call your grandma today.
Thank you for reminding me, though.
I feel like in my head, when I'm calling my grandma or grandparents, like, it's so much bigger of a deal than like calling my parents. Like, I feel like I need to be ready.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, just call them.
Yeah.
I don't know
because
why.
It's like such an occasion. They're like, oh,
yeah,
Jake, so true. Tell me everything.
We miss you so much. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is true.
But yeah, I have two grandmas that I should definitely keep in contact mm-hmm. with a little bit more.
What would you say to someone that like moves to LA and was like a young Jake Miller and they like know no one and they're feeling super lonely, because this can be a really lonely city? Like,
yeah.
How did you find people like that now you have are your ride or die people? Like, how did you know they were a good person to have around?
Well, it's funny because when I first moved here, I was doing what everyone does when they first move to LA. I was going to like all these clubs.
One Oak, Warwick.
Warwick was like my spot.
Yeah.
And, you know, for 2 or 3 years, we were going to these clubs like 2 or 3 times a week. Didn't ever find any friends there.
Uh-huh.
It was more just a good time. But all of my friends that I'm friends with now in LA, they're all from the East Coast. They've all moved out one by one.
Oh, they're like your hometown friends?
Or just like my band.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, Kevin, my drummer,
uh-huh.
was in New Jersey his whole life. He finally made the move.
Yay!
My tour manager, Scooter, he's from Jersey. He made the move. Joey, who is like one of my best friends, mm-hmm. I used to live with him in Florida. He made the move. And we're all like 10 minutes away from each other. And that's like the group that I go out with,
mm-hmm.
all my East Coast people.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't made too many like LA friends,
mm-hmm.
besides like maybe my girlfriend's like coworkers and mm-hmm. their boyfriends. But yeah, I have a very small group of friends, but they're all like amazing people.
Mm-hmm. I will say, once you find one, for me, it was like a ripple effect. Like once I found one good person, like they also had other good people surrounded by them. And then I met their friends and I met their friends, which was helpful.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, the hard part with, you know, the pandemic and, you know, just it was so long where everything was closed down. We were in Florida for a while and then I convinced my girlfriend to move to here. And I'm like, we're going to go to all these cool events and it's LA. We're going to go out and meet all these friends. Yeah. And then it was locked down for like a year. Uh-huh. So all we really did was like go outside, you know, go to the park and go on road trips. So mm-hmm. we haven't really like been able to like go out and socialize and like go to the bar and just randomly start talking to this other couple and make friends. But mm-hmm. we've definitely found like our people for sure.
I love that.
Yeah.
So what are you doing like right now with music? Like what moves are you making?
Going to the studio right after this, mm-hmm. making more music. We have an EP coming out right after the tour, so it's going to be like October-ish. It'll probably be like 5 or 6 songs.
How exciting.
Yeah, I'm super excited.
Wait, and the tour, when's the tour?
Starts in like 2 weeks.
Yeah. And where are you going?
It's like, I think it's 10 or 11 of like my favorite like major cities in America.
Wow. Yeah. Do you ever do one in LA?
Yeah, we're playing in LA.
Oh my gosh, tell me, I'll come.
Yeah, it's September 1st at the Troubadour.
I love the Troubadour.
Yeah, it's great.
Oh my gosh, I need to go.
Yeah, please bring all your friends. But and that's only like 3 weeks long, 2 or 3 weeks long. Come back, put out an EP, and then I got some personal things that are gonna be exciting for the end of the year and my birthday. Awesome. And yeah.
For the EP, how many songs are in an EP? And what does an EP mean?
It stands for extended play.
Okay.
Which makes no sense because you would think an extended would be like a long, like an album.
Yeah.
An album, I think, is like 8 songs or more, and an EP is like...
I've always wondered this.
6 songs or less or something.
Really?
Yeah. So this EP will probably have 5 or 6 songs. 4 or 5 are already done. So,
I'm still trying to finish one.
Yeah, I might write one today.
Oh, my gosh. Manifesting, like, good vibes for you.
Who knows?
And are you still making the actual, like, beats and the music, or are you having help with that?
It depends. We kind of, every song is different. So, like, today I'm going to the studio with a new producer. We'll start a song from scratch. He'll, like, lay down a super rough beat. I'll take that home with the voice memos of like the lyrics that I was doing in this, like I won't record anything at mm-hmm. his place. I'll go home with like the instrumental. I'll record my vocal in my house and then I'll kind of build the beat on top of that.
Wow.
And then I'll send all of that back to him to kind of do final, you know, touches. Mm, so
like edit it together.
Yeah. Or just kind of like put some final like
bells and whistles.
Yeah.
Okay. How do you write a song? Like in your head, like are you like, oh, I'm having relationship issues and so I want to write a song about someone dating my guy best friend, like, do you know what I mean? Like how does a song happen?
It's not as like specific to like my personal life as people think.
Okay.
So like I might go to the studio today and write like the most sad, heartbreaking, you know, breakup song.
Yeah.
Even though I'm in a super happy relationship.
Yeah.
Because there are people out there, millions of people out there who need that kind of music because they are going through that. And honestly, my favorite music to listen to is the songs that make you really sad, because like when you feel something in music, like mm-hmm. that's awesome. Like listening to a fun song is obviously awesome, but like listening to like some sad Lainey or something, or like some sad John Mayer, like, yeah, it just makes you feel something. So yeah, I don't ever really like sit down and like, guys, this is what I'm going through today. This is what we got to write about. It's more like I saw this phrase on a billboard on the side of the street. Like, I think that'd be such a cool song title. Like, mm-hmm. what could we write that like that would be the song title? Like, what would that song
Ooh.
Be about?
Okay, what has that happened with?
Like,
is there any like specific like saying you've seen? Like, I'm trying to think. There's those sweatshirts that say like, text me when you're home. Like,
yeah.
I could see me seeing that and being like, ooh, like let me write a song about that.
Yeah, it's kind of fun to work backwards when like you have that punchline, like the last line of the chorus that's going to be like that moment. So like the one that I can most recently think about, there was a song that we wrote called The Opposite.
Uh-huh.
And the first thing we said before we even started laying down any music, or we're just like, the word The Opposite just sounds cool. Like if we were to name a song, what would that song be about? And it's like, oh, well, you could write a song about, you know, I did this for you and you gave me the opposite. And then we wrote a whole song like, like I gave you flowers, you gave me thorns. I showed uh-huh. you sunsets, you showed me storms. Like,
whoa.
Yeah. It's just a fun, that's my favorite way to write.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Because I'm a title guy. Like when I come
really?
Across a song that I haven't heard yet and I like see an interesting title, I'm like, I have to hear it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Who, like, as far as lyrics go, who do you look up to? Or like titles, like what song titles, like who do you love? Who do you think slays the titles?
I can't really think of anyone off the top of my head that is like the title person.
Yeah.
but John Mayer is definitely my favorite in terms of lyrics, for okay. sure. He's kind of like the one that like just drained it in my head. Like do not write a song where the lyrics are not like extremely like, that has to be number one. And then the music behind it, like a beat should never carry the song.
Oh.
It should always be the words, to me.
Okay.
To me. So I always want people to like listen to it, like first listen, like alone, listen to every word, rather than like, sometimes I'll show someone like a song and like 30 seconds in they'll start like talking or like asking about it. I'm like, no, stop.
Yeah, like listen.
Now I have to play the whole thing over again. Uh-huh. Because the words are like so important to me. So, yeah.
Speaking of titles, Ross and Rachel.
Yeah.
How did that happen? Like, were you a big Friends fan?
I wouldn't say I'm the biggest Friends fan. I've seen a bunch of them, but definitely not like the whole thing. I'm trying to remember if that was one of those instances where Ross and Rachel came first and then we wrote a whole song. Because the first lyric is started off as Friends. So I don't know. I do have a feeling that was a long time ago. I think I came to the studio. I'm like, let's write a song called Ross and Rachel about two people who were friends and then, you know, grew into something more.
Have you ever heard from anyone from Friends like regarding that song?
No.
That's pretty crazy. They probably like definitely have heard it.
I hope so. That'd be cool. Yeah. Jennifer Aniston is one of my favorites. So.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. She probably like bumps it every morning.
Yeah. Oh my God. Could you imagine?
Workouts.
That'd be amazing.
Anyway, well, it has been an absolute blast getting to know you.
Yeah, you
and
too.
I guess what are like the tour dates, like shout outs?
Yeah.
You know, how everyone can buy their tickets and whatnot.
JakeMiller.com. All the tickets are right there.
Awesome.
Tour starts in like 2 weeks. After that, more music coming out. We got a song called Keeper that's coming out in like, I think the third day of tour.
Oh my gosh, so
really
fun
music video to go along with it.
Make a TikTok to it.
I'll probably make some TikToks to it. And yeah.
Yay. And where can everyone follow you on Instagram and stuff?
At Jake Miller. Super
at
easy.
At Jake Miller. Yeah, thank you so much, Jake. It's been a blast.
Thank you.
And I can't wait to listen to the new EP and yes. go to the Troubadour show.
Yeah.
And yeah, guys, don't forget to subscribe to everything you just said and this channel and make someone's day this week. Peace.
You're a great interviewer, by the way. That was fun.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah, of course.
Oh my gosh. That just made my day. Thank you.
See
bye.
You.